Okay, welcome to tonight's shiur. We're going to discuss the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, where they come from, what they are, and some halachos that relate to Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. And what we will also try to highlight is some of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach that are shared by both Jews and Goyim alike, are the mitzvos that they have, the same mitzvos that we have. So I'll just start with a sign that I had heard on a tape or by my friend, who was this whole founder, basically, of all the Torah tape, one of the founders of the Torah tape industry before we had, you know, downloadable shiurim. My friend once said on a shiur, I think it was probably about Mitzvot Bnei Noach, he got a call from somebody in the Bible Belt, and the fellow introduced himself as the president of an organization of Noahide Gentiles. And they realized that there are a lot of shilas that can arise if they want to follow these Noahide laws, and they need a posik. So they called up Rabbi Friend. I guess they had heard about him from his tapes or something, so they called up Rabbi Friend if he'd be willing to be the posik for this Noahide society. So I don't know if he accepted it, but either way, it's nice to hear that there are at least some Goyim who do want to be Bnei Noach. But I want to get to the words Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach sounds like, when did it start? When did these seven mitzvos become obligatory upon the Gentile community, the people of the world, at the time of Noach? If that's the case, then I'll ask you two questions. First of all, Cain did what to Hevel? He killed his brother. And he got punished or not punished? How could he be punished? He was punished. He was sent to the Galus. How could he be punished if he was not yet obligated in the mitzvahs, in the Zion mitzvahs Bnei Noach, one of them being Ritzicha, as we'll point out in a minute or so? How could he be punished if he's not obligated? So clearly, Cain was obligated. Second question, Dor HaMabel, before Noach was even, you know, did anything, Dor HaMabel was punished. Why? Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, because of Hamas. What does Rashi explain Hamas? How does Rashi explain Hamas? Stealing. Not skila, what?
Stealing, yes.
Gneva. So how could they be punished for Gneva if they're not yet mitzvah in the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? The answer is that it's a misnomer. Although we call it Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, they're actually the mitzvahs that were given to Adam HaRishon. And if you understand where these mitzvahs come from, you will know that these are the very, this commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, I guess, humanity, not Klal Yisrael, to humanity, was the very first communication of Hashem to the people of the world, to Adam HaRishon. The Pasuk talks about this. All the halachas of Bnei Noach are very easy to remember where they can be found. It's in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Noach, Daf Nun Ches. So a little bit before, a little bit after, but it's all centered around Daf Nun Ches, so you never have to forget. If you ever want to look up, you know, a quick shiloh comes up and Rabbi Friend is not available for your coworker in your cubicle, you could quickly go, you know, Google up Sanhedrin, Daf Noach, Nun Ches, and you'll be able to look up the answer. Hashem tells Adam HaRishon, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel, you're allowed to eat the trees. There's an extra pasuk where Hashem repeats himself. I don't have the pasuk written down here. Yes. Originally Hashem says, Nasati Lechem Eskol Esev, and then he says a second time, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel, that you could eat from the Eitz Hagan. That extra pasuk, which is just repeating the fact that Adam is allowed to eat from the fruits of the land, indicates that there's something extra being commanded here, because we already learned that he was already told that he was allowed to eat the fruits of the land and the grass and those things. So from this pasuk, which is completely extraneous, the Gemara in Sanhedrin deduces from every word of that extra pasuk another halacha, a total of seven halachos. Let's get into those seven halachos. But before we do, those seven halachos, not all seven of them applied yet. We'll see which one didn't apply at the time of Adam HaRishon, even though he was given it. What are the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach? As recorded in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches, and Zayin, and Tes, somewhere around there. The way to remember it, we'll start with like this. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three. What's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet? Aleph is Avram and Hachai. Avram and Hachai means if there's a live animal, you're not allowed to take a bite out of a live animal. That's basically Avraham and Hachai. Beis is Birkas Hashem. Now, Birkas Hashem is a little bit tricky because it's a euphemism. Whenever the Torah wants to say that something mentioned the idea of cursing God, Chas V'Shalom, it never actually says those words. And the Gemara always call it Birkas Hashem because we don't want to even say those words of cursing God. We don't even want to speak like that. So Beis is Birkas Hashem. They're not allowed to blaspheme. That's Aleph Beis. Gimel is Gzela. Dalit is dinim. They have to establish a court, a judicial system. We're going to discuss what kind of judicial system in about 5-10 minutes. That's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalit. And then the big three, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah. People think that Avodah Zarah is a Jewish thing, that it's nothing to do with Jewish or not Jewish. Goyim and Jews alike have to believe in Hashem. They just don't have to do any more than these seven. We have a few more. Those are the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But it doesn't stop there. The Gemara also records a few more restrictions that Bnei Noach are obligated to abide by, even though they're not actually in this list of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach for whatever reason. Kishuf. Kishuf, magic. Real black magic. There's actually an interesting discussion. All of us have been to magic shows, probably put on by our shuls and our yeshivas. There is, believe it or not, let's start like this. Magic itself, the real black magic that we don't really know what it is, tapping into some spiritual forces that we're not so aware of in nowadays, is an issa d'oraisa for Jews and for goyim alike. There's a Chachmas Adam who says that not only that, but even something called in the poskim, achizat einayim, optical illusions, which is what we would call modern-day magic tricks, the Chachmas Adam says that that also would be Asur. So, I don't know if we paskin like the Chachmas Adam. I think most shuls and schools don't. But nonetheless, there is a posik who says that a magic, hiring a magician would be a possible Isser. And that actually is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. So he did make his way into the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so that's Kishuf. An additional thing that Goyim are limited to is Sirus. Sirus is neutering. This is very important halacha l'maisa. If I have a cat, I have a dog, and I want to spay it or neuter it, and I bring it to the veterinarian. So one thing that is important to keep in mind, a veterinarian is a non-Jewish veterinarian, is obligated theoretically, not theoretically, a non-Jewish veterinarian is obligated not to do sirus, not to neuter my cat, my dog. For me to give it to them might be a situation of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is not just if you cause another Jew to be nichshal to violate an iser, even if you give it to a guy, there's lifnei iver. And therefore, if you give your animal to a non-Jewish veterinarian, there might be a question. Again, it's a little bit more complicated. We're not going to get into the details now, but it could be theoretically an issue of lifnei iver because you're causing him to violate his prohibition of neutering an animal. For a Jew to neuter an animal, that's definitely also daraisa. For a guy, as well. Two more that are a little bit more familiar, a guy who keeps Shabbos, Goy Sheshavas. Chazal says Chayav Misa, but it doesn't mean that we actually kill him. It just means that he's liable to be killed, but we don't kill him. And finally, Goy Shalomad Torah is again Chayav Misa, and again, not that we kill him, but he himself is liable to be punished. Those are the that's the amalgam of all the Yisurim that apply to Goyim. So we have the seven Mitzvot Bnei Noach, an additional four, Kishuf, Sirus, neutering, keeping Shabbos, and learning Torah. I will talk about a bunch of them. We're not going to talk about all 11 of these. We'll talk about five of them. There's one important klal, one important general rule that applies to all the seven Mitzvot Bnei Noach. And that is that whenever there is a prohibition for them and a prohibition for us, there can't be anything that is mutter for us that's usser for them. Let me say that in different words. Jews have to be more restricted. There can't be any scenario where something is permitted for a Jew to do and not for a guy. If a guy is usser to do it, a Jew has to be at least that usser to do. Has to be at least as usser as that. In other words, there are 613 mitzvos. They have seven. We have 606 more. Seven are shared by all of humanity. Jews have an extra 606 more than they. Now I want to see if those seven that we have, that they have, match up to the seven corresponding mitzvahs that we have. Meaning, we have an Isser of Ritzicha, they have an Isser of Ritzicha. Is our Isser of Ritzicha the same? Or is it different? They have an iser of din. They have a mitzvah, asei d'oraisa, to establish dinim. We have a mitzvah, asei d'oraisa, to establish courts. Is that in the nature of those two mitzvahs the same nature, or is it a different mitzvah? That's what we'll talk about in the next few minutes. Let's talk about, for just a minute or two, it has some very, very, very significant applications in the medical field. We'll talk about shvichas damim. There is a difference in the halachas of murder between Jews and non-Jews. A Jew is only chayav misa. If I murder somebody, I get killed. What happens if I murder a fetus? So we learn out from the pasuk itself, Rashi HaTorah comments this, I will only be chayav misa if I murder a ben kayam, a standing, living person who's alive, who's a born person. But an unborn person is not considered an ish, and the Torah says, I'm only chayav misa if I kill an ish. So therefore, if a Jew does an abortion, that might be aser. That might be very aser, but I will not be able to be killed if I do if I perform an abortion and kill a fetus. However, a ben Noach, interestingly enough, is liable for ritzicha, for shvichas damim, if they kill a fetus. Only a Jew has that leniency, and you're going to see where we're going in a moment, has that leniency of only being chayav misa, only being culpable to be killed, to be executed if I kill a living person. But an unborn person, a Jew won't be killed, but a guy will be killed. What problem do we have here? It sounds like, who's being more stringent? Sounds like a guy is more stringent than a Jew. We just said that can't be. So Tosis asks this question. And Tosis answers that it is usur for both of us. It is usur for both of us. It's not like a Jew is allowed to do an abortion or allowed to kill an unborn fetus. It happens to be that the chiv on that is more chamor to a guy. He'll be chayiv misa. That will be considered ritzicha, murder for him. And for me, it will not be considered murder. But permissibility or not being permissible or not permissible, that is going to be equal for both of us. So let me ask you a question. Let's say there's a scenario where a Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman, regardless, has to, for whatever reason, get an abortion. For whatever the reason it is. Who should they choose as a doctor? What would follow? It sounds like they should find the Jewish doctor to do the abortion. So I'm not going to get into the halacha lemaisa. Obviously, such questions arise. You have to speak with not just a rabbi, but a Radav Gadol. But Tosos actually is misupak about the following scenario. We know that what is a classical case that abortion is definitely permitted? Jews, we hold that abortion is 100% permitted in a scenario where? I'm sorry? Rodef, where the fetus is endangering the life of the mother. No questions asked. You could do an abortion, no questions, period, permitted. Mutter. Tosus says, let's say the doctor in the hospital is a guy. Could that guy kill the baby to save the mother? Why is the baby any more of a rodef than the mother? So Tosis is misupik, even in a case of rodef. Tosis is uncertain, even in a case of rodef, if the doctor could kill the fetus, because for killing the fetus, it's equally ritzicha as not killing the fetus and killing the mother, for example, if the doctor had to choose. So that's a question. The Tosis leaves it as a question. But again, halacha l'maisa, if it ever comes up, a posik has to be discussed. That's our discussion for ritzicha. Let's move on. The main discussion that we'll have today is, we'll talk for about 15 minutes about dinim, the nature of courts, maybe 10 minutes, the nature of court systems. So I would assume, what kind of court system do we have to set up? We have to set up something to make sure that there's no anarchy. You want to make sure that society has some system of jurisprudence to make sure there's no, like says in Pirkei Avos, that if we don't have Morah Shel Malchus, then Yish Es Re'eu Chayim B'la'o, they'll just be, people will swallow each other up alive. What kind of court system do they have to have? Do they have to have a court system however they set up in America, in England, common law, whatever system they decide to set up? Or does the Torah obligation on Goyim to set up courts mean that they have to set up courts in the way Jews have courts? Does it have to be the same halachos of Jewish courts that apply to their courts, they just also have to set it up? Or no, we have our own halachos called Choshen Mishpat, that part of Shulchan Aruch Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, that's for us. They just have to set up some core system to have a system of jurisprudence. That's the question. Let's take a step back in order to answer this question and try to figure out where we know that Goyim are obligated in dinim. So I told you it's from that pasuk by Adam Harishon, where it's Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam Lemar Me'etz HaGan Achol Tochel, something like that. I probably got a few words wrong. The word Vayitzav, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, links to a pasuk by Avram Avinu, where it also says the word Sav, Sivui. What does it say by Avram Avinu? Hashem speaks about Avraham Avinu saying how much he loves and how proud he is of Avraham Avinu. Ki yudativ, for I know, says Hashem, l'man asher yitzaveh. Same word as we had by Vayitzaveh Elokim. Vayitzaveh esbanav acharav la'asos tzedakah u'mishpat. Avraham Avinu fulfilled mishpat. And the Gemara learns a gzera shav or something linking the word Vayitzav to Adam Harishon, to the word Asher Yitzaveh by Avraham Avinu, to show that the word Vayitzav, spoken by Adam Harishon, refers to the Mishpat that was written regarding Avraham Avinu. If that's the case, if we're learning Dinim to Adam Harishon from a pasuk that was written by Avraham Avinu, well, by Avraham Avinu, did he have Choshen Mishpat? Did he have Bava Kama? Did he have Bava Metzia? Did he have Bava Basra? Obviously not. So if we're going to learn from Adam Harishon, if we're going to learn the halachas for Adam Harishon from the pasuk by Avraham Avinu, who obviously didn't yet have Choshen Mishpat, the Jewish system of law as we know it. So it's clearly their halacha, Avraham Avinu had whatever system of Mishpat that he established. And so too, Goyim, who learned from that pasuk, from that word Vayitzav, also will only have to be some kind of law system, legal system, even though it doesn't necessarily follow the Bnei Noach. And that's actually how it's paskened by the Ramah. Ramah does not appear in Shulchan Aruch. Ramah, who lived in Krakow, besides writing his parish for Ashkenazim on Rav Yosef Karo's Sfardi Shulchan Aruch, he also has a Shailos HaTshuva. So in Shailos HaTshuva, number Yud, he says this halacha, that the dinim that a guy has to set up is their own court system. According to this perspective, you could just understand a few things. Rav Hirsch, actually, in a very different kind of way, says that the fact that the non-Jewish court system was sanctioned and even obligated by the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach of Dinim, that gives the court system, the non-Jewish court system, a certain sanction from halacha, a certain exalted status. It's not just, you know, they do their thing however they want. No, says Rav Hirsch, there's a certain halachic significance, halachic with a lowercase h maybe, but since the Torah says that they have to have dinim, this is the dinim that they have, so that's sort of a sanctioned by the Torah set of laws, and that's a very the kind of thing you might expect to hear from Hirsch. But there's a very interesting, there's a beautiful sefer called Margolios Hayam. Margolios Hayam was written by a Talmud Chacham named Reuven Margolios, who was not a rabbi, he was a librarian. So what do librarians do in their free time? They read. So he read and read and read and has the most unusual amalgamation of just odd facts from all over. And he puts them together. And he has a sefer Margolios Hayam on Sanhedrin, where it talks about, we said that all these halachas are in Sanhedrin, Daf and Ches. So around there, he points out, he brings, I never heard this, the Re'antuli from the sefer Milamid HaTalmidim. Go find it. Who says that we know there's a concept in our halacha called Dina de Malchus Adina, that we have to follow the laws of the Gentile king. We have to obey the laws. If it says don't walk, it means we can't walk. Okay, there are a lot of questions about where it applies, how it applies, how much it applies, when. Does it really mean I can't jaywalk? Does it really mean I can't go through a red light if it's 3 a.m. and no one's around? Maybe it does. But he says, you know where that halacha that obligates me to listen to the Gentile king or the laws of the land? The simple understanding, I think the Ran says this, the simple understanding of Dina de Malchus Adina is that the Chachamim saw that if we don't listen to the laws of the land, what's the king going to do? Throw us out. So to protect the Jewish interests, we should obey the laws. That's the simple understanding. But this Melamed HaTalmidim says a deeper idea. He says that Dina de Malchus is sanctioned by the Torah. when that government set up its legal system, it did so with the shtempel, with the stamp of approval from Chamisha Chomshei Torah, from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that says that they have to have a legal system, and therefore there's a certain chashivus to the law of the land, and therefore we're obligated to listen to it, because our Torah sanctions their legal system. Yes?
Is that their law?
No.
Temporal.
Yes.
We're saying that this is
what this idea is not going to be, this idea is not going to say that you're obligated midaraisa. This is just giving, you know, in terms of a conceptual perspective, how to see the idea, din l'machlokes hadin. One interesting way to look at it, it would be by saying that the whole concept of them having dinim is, you know, comes from the Torah giving them that obligation. So therefore, in a certain philosophical sense, there's room for to say that the Jews should abide by it because there is some significance. But in terms of, you know, daraisa, it's certainly not a din daraisa. No. Okay. That's the Ramah's opinion, that Goyim only have to have laws according to their own system of laws. However, believe it or not, there's Ramban. Ramban, that some of you might have learned without even realizing that you learned it, in the discussion when Shimon and Levi kill Shechem, because Shechem kidnapped and raped Dinah, their sister. So what did Shimon and Levi do? Kill the entire city of Shechem. Why did they kill the entire city of Shechem? After all, who did this terrible act? It was only the person, Shechem. Was it Hamor or Shechem? Who's the father, who's the son? Shechem ben Hamor. So Shechem who did it, right. So why did they kill the entire city? Why didn't they just kill Shechem, who himself perpetrated the sin? So I think this is Machlokes Ram. All right, so Rambam said, this is Machlokes Rambam and Ramban. Who says what? I don't remember who says what. But the Ramban says one of the reasons there that's given, I don't remember if it's the Rambam or the Ramban, is that the reason why Shimon and Levi were able to kill the whole city is because what did that city fail to do? Every inhabitant of that city, what did they fail to do? Take Shechem to court. So they didn't fulfill their obligation. The city itself, all the inhabitants of the city, didn't fulfill their obligation to establish a court system. So therefore, the entire city had to be punished. What is, by the way, the punishment for all of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach? All of them. They all have one chiyuv. All have one punishment, right? Let's go down. Avram and Hachai, blaspheming Hashem, Gzela, not establishing a court system, Ritzicha, Vadazar Gilarayas. There's one punishment that all of them get. Misa by Sayef. What's Sayef? Cherev. In French, they call it the guillotine. Head cut off, that is the punishment for all of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, which is fascinating. That means if you're in a grocery store and you see a guy grab a Hershey bar, you know, like a Butterfinger, and slip it into his jacket pocket, and you see that, what should you do? You should take out your switchblade from underneath your jacket and apply it carefully. That's what ought to come out. I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm certainly suggesting you ought not do that. But that's what should come out. So, but at least what did Shimon and Levi do? Exactly that. Since the Bnei Shechem did not fulfill the mitzvah of dinim, what's their chiyuv? Their chiyuv for not fulfilling one of the Zion mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, is that they all have to be killed. And that's exactly what Shimon and Levi did. They're all chayav misa. So in that context, that Ramban, the Ramban continues to say that what kind of court system must a goy establish? It's frightening, but the Ramban says, Paskins, that they have to establish a corpus of law just as we have our corpus of law. In other words, they have to follow Choshen Mishpat. They have to follow the entire Jewish legal system, including the Ramban writes, all the halachas of Ona'a, that's where it's also to overcharge, Oshek, which is forcing people to sell things to you. We have an idea called Dalet Shomrim, a Shoel, a Socher, a Masker, a renter, a borrower. Each person has different levels of obligation. How carefully you have to watch an object that you give me. If I volunteer to watch something for you, you pay me to watch, a hired watchman. All have different levels of obligation if something happens to the item that I'm watching. All those halachas that make up all of Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Bava Kama, all the interpersonal financial halachas, those all apply to Goyim. And we're going to see a very important halacha that's going to come out of that in terms of teaching Torah to Goyim that we'll see in about 15 minutes. Okay, so those are two opinions that apply to. Those are two opinions that apply to that in terms of understanding the nature of dinim that goyim have. With this Ramban, you could understand something very interesting. Do you remember when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim? They get to Mara. At Mara, it says Sham Sam Lo Chok Umishpat. They got to Mara. This is before Har Sinai. They already got a few mitzvahs there. What mitzvahs did they get? I think they got Kibud Av V'Em. What else did they get? Anyone remember? Shabbos could be. And Dinim. Was there a fourth? They got dinim. Now, can I ask you a question? If we say... Actually, the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara asks, how could you say that they got dinim? Sham sam lo choku mishpat. Hashem gave the Jewish people mishpat. If we assume that non-Jews themselves have to keep all the halachas of mishpat anyway, so what is the new thing that Hashem gave them? If we assume that all Gentiles have to be keeping dinim, like our choshemish, like our halacha, so what did Hashem give them at Mara extra? Sham sam lo choku mishpat. That Hashem gave them dinim. They already had dinim, asked the Gemara. That's just something to think about, that Gemara's question. Okay, let's put dinim aside for now. Move on to the next one. Avraham and Achai, let me ask you a history question. When was it usher to eat? When did it become mutter for us to eat meat? When was humanity permitted to eat meat? What? After Noah. After Noah, after the Mabel, after he comes out of the Teva, only then does Hashem say, what's the pasuk, anybody? Ki yerek esev yelachem la'achla. I don't remember the pasuk, but something to that extent that all the things that are walking and crawling, not crawling but walking, you could have to eat just like Yerek Esav, just like you're allowed to already eat the vegetables and the fruits and the grasses. So clearly, if I'm only allowed to eat meat from after Noach, how could one of the seven mitzvahs be to Adam HaRishon not to eat Avraham and Achai? Avraham and Achai is a certain kind of meat. But if you're not letting them eat meat at all, any meat, so of course Avraham and Achai, which is just one kind of meat, it's meat from a live animal, of course you can't eat that. You can't eat any meat. That's a question that Tosis asks. And Tosis' answer is that, what does it mean that Adam HaRishon wasn't allowed to eat Avraham and Achai? Avraham and Achai means, you're not allowed to eat, well, let me rephrase that, I'm sorry. Tosis answers that what does it mean that Adam was not allowed to eat meat? Adam was not allowed to kill an animal so that he can eat meat. But, for example, if an animal were to die, or perhaps if he would want to take a bite out of a live animal, then he's not killing an animal so that he could eat meat. That would be permitted, even for Adam HaRishon. That's why we needed to say to Adam HaRishon that Avraham and Achai is Asur, because there is a possibility of eating meat, not killing an animal to eat meat, but to eat meat is possible. As long as you don't kill the animal, that's what Tosa suggests, why Avraham and Achai could apply even in the time of Adam HaRishon. Now, I'll bring a very, very cute proof. Yes?
Isn't it possible also that there's levels of demeanor? So, meaning not when it's supposed to eat meat, but there probably may have been people in his generation who did. And I think if you're going to even kill an animal for meat, then if you're going to do that, then the next step.
That's a good question. Let me ask a more basic question. Do we assume in America we have felonies, we have, help me, we have felonies, we have misdemeanors, we have capital offenses, we have all different kinds of levels. In halacha we have derabbanans, we have deraisas, we have deraisas that are chayev that don't get malchus, deraisas that do get malchus, things that get chit misa b'dei shamayim, things that are worse get kareis, things that are worse get Saif, get Hereg, get Srefa, get Skila, we have all kinds of different levels. By the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, do we have these levels? I don't know. Maybe it's just either yes or no. It's either Asa Doraisa and you get Misa for it, or it's Mutter. I don't know if we have levels. I haven't seen any distinction between different levels misdemeanor, different levels of violation by the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I just never have seen them. So. It's worse.
The demeanor is even worse. So, meaning, is it possible that people from Ninoch are addressed to people who don't have that same moral standard that maybe Noah had? Meaning, we know that people of the generation, because of the Mambo, are living a very base life.
Right. So, you're saying maybe the Pasuk only was being matur to Noah. But everybody else already was, it was sort of okay for them to eat meat, but Noah wouldn't, because he had a higher moral standard.
No, but the Shemites of Noah aren't addressing Noah. They're addressing the rest of his.
But the only thing is, it's clear from the Pasuk in Bereishis that humanity is not allowed to eat meat, right? That it says in Bereishis. Because in Bereishis it says, and we'll probably not be able to find it, Vayom Elokim, Perek Aleph. Vayom Elokim, Hine Nasati Lechem, Es Kol Esev, Zerea Zera, Ves Kol Ha'etz, Lechem Yelo Achla. You could eat all the fruits, or the vegetables, or the grass. And also, the next verse says, I give all the animals the ability to eat all the vegetables. It stops there. So it doesn't say that you're going to be allowed to eat meat. So I think Chazal understand that it was also for them to eat meat, period. So, okay. What we just suggested a minute ago is that this prohibition that Adam, that humanity had to eat meat that we were just talking about was only to eat meat that you actually kill so that you could eat it. But if it just happened to die by itself, that would be okay, perhaps. Just to prove that point, I'll share with you a very cute Gemara. The Gemara says, what did Adam HaRishon do all day in Gan Eden before he sinned? What did Adam HaRishon, if you imagine that you are Adam HaRishon, you're a Chava, wherever you want to be, what do you think they did all day in Gan Eden? How'd they keep busy? Lemonade, beach chair, beautiful sparkling pool. What were they doing? Besides drinking lemonade, what were they eating? So again, I'm sure this is not meant literally. I certainly hope it's not meant literally. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, believe it or not, says the following. You know what he was doing? He was eating meat. The Malachi Hashareis, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, with Tzolel Lo Basar. We're roasting meat for him. He had a barbecue in Gan Eden. So I don't know if it sounds so exciting, but at least on, obviously there are much deeper messages there, but at least on the simplest translation of those words, that Gemara Sanhedrin, it sounds like Adam HaRishon ate meat. So what do you mean? I just finished telling you that Adam HaRishon couldn't eat meat. The answer that Tosafot said two minutes ago, that the only meat that Adam HaRishon couldn't eat is stuff that he killed so that he could eat. But if animals happen to die, or I don't know, Malachi Asharis took care of it, or however they got their meat, maybe he would be able to. Okay, that's just a few points. Let's finish with Avraham HaChai now, and let's go to something that is much more nogeh halacha l'maisa, because I don't think we know too many people who like taking bites out of live animals. Goy shelomad Torah chayev misa. So let's think of our favorite female pop singers who have an affinity towards Kabbalah. And what does that tell us about Madonna? Are you allowed to buy a CD or download, not a shir, download a song from someone who's Chayiv Misa? Is she Chayiv Misa? Is she not Chayiv Misa? First of all, does that mean, if I have to kill her, Kal Vachomer, I shouldn't be able to support her financially? No? Does that mean I'm a good Kal Vachomer? That sounds good to me. But of course, we mentioned before, the Rambam said that by Lama Torah, Chayiv Misa doesn't actually mean that I should take out my knife and kill them. It just means that they're liable to be killed, but I don't actually do it. What's the source for Goy Shel Lama Torah, Chayiv Misa? And this is important because next time you're in your office and you're trying to explain, we've been learning Hilchas Yichud, and we mentioned there might be a scenario that you might have to say something to your boss. Is it okay if I leave the door open or something? And he's going to say, could you explain, you know, as you say, whatever you want, I'm happy to leave the door open, but would you mind explaining to me a little bit? you know, why exactly you want this door open? What's this whole thing? What yichud? What is this thing? And you tell them, well, it's nothing to do with Judaism. It's, you know, Friedman versus State of New York. And you give them a legal brief. Are you going to be able to explain? I have to take off. It's a fast day tomorrow. What fast day? Why is there a fast day? Everyone fasts? No one fasts? So are you going to be, how much could you explain to your coworkers? So let's first figure out where this prohibition of teaching Torah, of learning, a goy learning Torah, there are two different things. There's a goy learning Torah that's independently usher, and independent from that, separate from that, is for a Jew to teach a goy Torah. Two separate sources, two separate isurim. Believe it or not, the source is from a pasuk that every four-year-old knows. Torah, tziva, lanu, Moshe, morasha, kihilas Yaakov. Torah, tziva, lanu, Moshe, Torah is taught to us, and for us it is a what? It is a morasha. The Gemara has two ways to understand the word morasha. Simply, morasha means an inheritance, a legacy. So if you take something that is my inheritance, that's stealing. Well, we know that stealing was one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach that we mentioned half an hour ago. So, and we also mentioned that any of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach that they violate, they get chiyuv misa. So let's put A and B together, we're going to get C. If gezel is one of the chiyuv misa, is one of the zayin mitzvahs, and all the zayin mitzvahs get misa. So goy shelamed Torah is violating, taking away my legacy. It's a morasha for me. That means they're taking away my legacy, my inheritance. You're stealing my inheritance. That is going to make you chiyuv misa. The Gemara suggests a different understanding. That the word morasha, the Gemara says, don't read it as morasha. Sometimes the Gemara plays these word games. Don't read it as morasha, but read it as me'urasa. The word me'urasa means betrothed. We have the word erisin, kiddushin, those are synonyms. The step before nisun, it's one of the stages of marriage. So me'urasa, it's betrothed. Torah is betrothed to the Jewish people. And therefore, if they learn Torah, they are what? They are violating that marriage, as it were, of Torah to the Jewish people specifically, and therefore they're violating Gili Arayos. Sounds funny, but that's what the Gemara Sanhedrin says. They're violating Gili Arayos, and therefore again, they're violating one of the Sheva Misa Bnei Noach, they should be Chayav Misa. Either way, we're not going to go killing any Jew. Any guy, you're on the train and you see he's carrying, you know, he has his Zar Scroll Daf Yomi edition on the train, and he's clearly not Jewish, so we're not going to take out our knives. Why not? So I mentioned before, it just means he gets Misa B'Dei Shemayim. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. The Lecha Mishnah says, no, these are not, don't take these sources from that I just told you of Morasha. It's like it's an inheritance and he's stealing, or it's Moras, it's Bichot. Those are only Drabbanan. It's just like, you know, they're a cute pasuk to learn it from, but it's not actually Issa D'Oraisa. However, there is a Gemara that sounds like it is an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, but what's Aser to teach a guy? Or, let's frame this question in a different format. How could we say that it's usher for a guy, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said to teach a guy, I'm talking about a guy learning Torah. How could we say that it's usher for a guy to learn Torah? After all, there's a Gemara elsewhere. Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes asks, that don't we say, and I'll read to you the Braisa, Akum, a guy, she'osik b'Torah is k'kohen gadol. He's as great as a kohen gadol. Shenemar, like the pasuk regarding Torah says, Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. A Ha'adam is one who should be involved with Torah. It doesn't say a Yisrael. It doesn't say a Jew. It says Adam. Adam refers to any man. Sounds like any man. Even a guy who learns Torah is great because of the Torah that they learned. So we have a contradiction. On one hand, it's Aser for a guy to learn Torah. It's one of the not seven, but the expanded version, the 11 prohibitions for a guy. On the other hand, the Chazal say that that person is like a Kohen Gadol because of the Torah, the Kedusha that he imbibes by learning Torah. Answers the Gemara, V'sheva mitzvos didhu. Didhu is Aramaic for shelahem. Sheva mitzvos shelahem, they could learn all they want. It's only the other 606 that they cannot learn. So, let's now start to apply that. If they ask me, what's that long branch, when I went through security on Sukkot, and I had to try to explain why I'm carrying a lulav and why I'm so careful about it, not getting banged and putting through the machines and handling it. So, how do I explain that? That's not going to be their 600. That's not their 7. Only their 7 is mutter. Yichud is not one of yichud. We spoke about it in our yichud shiur. might be considered Gilei Arayos. So maybe Yichud, I could explain to them, because one of the Shemes B'nei Noach is Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet plus the big three, and one of the big three is Gilei Arayos. So Yichud, I could explain to them all I want. I could give them a whole shiur. You could say, please download Rabbi Orlean's six-section series on Hilchos Yichud from YU Torah or yeshivacommunityshul.org.com, something like that. And he could listen to all my six shiurim on Hilchos Yichud. Why? Because it's Gilei Arayos. It is one of his seven mitzvahs. What about the Ramban that we learned earlier? The Ramban that we said earlier, who said that all of dinim, I'm sorry, that dinim of a guy applies to what kind of dinim? All of our dinim. In other words, I could teach a guy all of Bava Kama, all of Bava Metzia, all of Bava Basa, all the financial halachos, take out a Chosha Mishpah. Chosha Mishpah is the largest chelik of Shulchan Aruch that all talks about financial interactions with people, Jews specifically. I could say, here's eight volumes. Let's sit down and we'll learn B'chavrusa for 8 hours a day for the next 15 years and we won't finish it. And that's totally fine. Why? Because that's, as the Gemara says, B'sheva mitzvot didhu shalahem. That's their seven mitzvot. They can learn all they want. The other 606, that they're not allowed to learn. There is a, yes?
What would be the threshold of educating someone?
You mean, you're telling to the guy at the TSA officer, the Transportation Security Administration officer, well, the Jewish people have a holiday, and we have to have a palm branch, and it represents, you know, you get different pshatim in the Midrash. One Midrash says that we come out victorious from, you know, our Day of Atonement, so we lift up a staff, or perhaps it represents water. I think that's probably okay.
Also, I'm saying, to educate someone
who
would like to become a
Gerim. Oh, that's a good question. How do you teach Gerim? How do you teach Gerim? Yeah, that's a good question. I can't answer you now. Not because I didn't prepare that. That is a good question. The person discuss it. How can we teach Gemara? If you look at the original way Geras used to be, it wasn't that. Nowadays, and it has to be this way, nowadays people don't really have the same level of commitment to truth. Now people more do things because it feels good for them. So I like the social component of Judaism. You know, something resonates with me about Judaism. Let me become a Jew. So to make sure that people follow, you know, keep that, you have to really make sure that Gerim know everything ahead of time and are willing to keep it, or know how to keep it, and practice keeping Shabbos. If you look how Geris was originally in Chazal, that's not how Geris worked. It's a person said, I want to be a Jew. You modia them a little bit, the very littlest bit, you know, a few kal halachas, a few chamer halachas, and you tell them, you know, if you become a Jew, you might suffer. And if they say okay, that's fine, because they'll have a commitment. Nowadays, people don't work like that. The level of commitment is much weaker now, and therefore, you have to really be sure that the Gerim will have practice in doing it. Know that they'll be able to keep Shabbos. They have to know their brachos. You know, some Bat Din will say, okay, tell me Al Mechia by heart, because nowadays, if you can't do things, you won't be able to be part of the community. There's a much higher threshold of what we expect. So especially nowadays, how are you going to teach all Hilchos Shabbos to Gerim to let them realize how for us it's beautiful, but for them it could be challenging, especially if they don't have to do it. Yes, that's a very good question. I don't have an answer for you right now. There is also a chiluk. I don't remember if it's the Rambam. I didn't get a chance to look it up. That might be a distinction between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav you could teach them. Torah Shebaal Peh you can't. Okay, that's our discussion for Goy Shalama Torah. Let's finish with, do Goyim have Olam Haba? There's obviously a lot to talk about. I'll just share, you know, one Mahalach, perhaps in the Rambam, a very important Rambam, that gives you a perspective that I think even though we might not be Goyim, we could derive an important perspective of how we look at mitzvos from what the Rambam writes about Goyim. The Rambam, at the very, 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 very end of the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, which is the last sefer in the entire Rambam, the end of Perek Ches, the Rambam says the following. We have something in the Torah called the Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is not Jewish. He eats treif. He doesn't keep Shabbos. But there are certain things that he is careful about, and you don't necessarily have to chase him out of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam, who is a Ger Toshav? A guy who accepts Zayin Mitzvos is called a Ger Toshav, and has a chelik in Olam Haba, and listen to the next few words. V'hu, but that is only, sheyikabel osan, that he accepts those Zion mitzvos, mipnei, because, Shetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Toraso. Because Hashem commanded such in his Torah. Aval. And he doesn't mince words here. He says that very explicitly. Im asa'an. If this Gentile fulfilled those seven mitzvahs, followed those seven mitzvahs, al pi hechra hadas, based on his own intellect, based on his own understanding, based on his own moral and ethical perspectives, ein ze ger toshav velo mechachameihem. And it sounds like he doesn't get olam haba. In other words, in order to be merit olam haba, a goy can get olam haba. But that's only if he accepts upon himself zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. Why? Because these are the seven mitzvahs that God gave Moshe at Sinai for all, or perhaps God told Adam HaRishon, that is recorded in the Torah that God gave Moshe at Har Sinai, these seven mitzvahs for me to do. Not because I think it's ethically wrong to murder, to steal, to rape, to eat parts of live animals. I think it's very important for society to have courts of law. I think it's terrible to blaspheme the Creator, and I think I basically covered most of them. Just because I have a high moral and ethical standard, that doesn't make me getting olam haba, a person who gets olam haba. I have to mipnei shetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'torasa. But ultimately, a guy could get olam haba. He could get olam haba. If you look at the Radvaz, I don't know if I remember, it's the Ravid. I wrote here in my notes Radvaz. Maybe it's the Ravid, but because he often comments on the Rambams, that is censored out of many editions of the Rambam. But I think the Radvaz writes that yes, he could get olam haba, but he can't get Gan Eden. So what's the difference between olam haba and Gan Eden? I'm not the right person to ask, nor is it the right forum to discuss it. But whatever it is, a guy can get olam haba, but not Gan Eden. And we understand that the censors, the Christian censors, would very quickly remove that Radvaz, and therefore many editions do not have that line of the Radvaz. Some suggest that this Radvaz says, adds this line, that even though Goy could get Olam Haba, he won't get Gan Eden, because there's actually a contradiction in the Rambam. What's the contradiction in the Rambam? The Rambam that I just said says that a Goy can get Olam Haba. But there's a Rambam somewhere else, actually, in discussing Geirus. The Rambam tells us how to do Geirus, and what we tell the person who is interested in being a Geir, and one of the things that they say, this is the Rambam talking. The Rambam is based on the Gemara Yevamos, and we'll mention what the Gemara Yevamos says, and we'll see it might not be exactly the same. But the Rambam says, how do you tell a guy wants to become a Geir, a woman wants to become a Geiress, what do you tell him or her? You say, Olam Haba is Safun la tzadikim, is hidden for tzadikim, v'heim Yisrael. Olam haba is, you want to become a ger? Fabulous. This is something that you could get something as a Yisrael that a guy can't get. Yisrael could get olam haba. What do we have? We have a contradiction. The Rambam earlier says, a ger toshav, as long as he accepts the seven mitzvos, understand that it's only because of Hashem's commanding in Torah, could get himself olam haba. But here in Halachas of Geirus, the Rambam writes, that a ger is told that only a Jew could get olam haba. So that contradiction might be why the Radvaz added that line. What do we do when we have one Rambam says he could get olam haba, one Rambam says he can't? What's one way to answer such a contradiction? By saying that they're talking about different levels of olam haba. Regular olam haba, yes, a guy can get. But maybe something higher, like an Eden, a guy can't get. So that's what the two Rambams are talking about. The one that says that he could get it, that's talking about a lower level. The Radvaz there says, but not Gan Eden. Yeah, just like the Rambam elsewhere says that a guy can't get Olam Haba, meaning that higher level, the Gan Eden level. That's one way to answer it. But it could be that this whole Rambam is a little bit mistaken. I would never say this, but Maratz Chiyus, one of the Achronim, suggests that Rambam was based on a misreading of a Gemara in Yevamos. Listen to where I put the comma. And listen to what a comma could do. A comma could define whether a goy will get olam haba or not. The Gemara in Yevamos says the following. Yevamos mem zayin amud aleph. Heve yodea, you should know, says the Gemara. She olam haba eino asui ela latzadikim v'yisrael. So, if I read it like that, what comes out? Well, you could read it in different ways. The Rambam might have understood it that only a Yisrael could get Olam Haba. But But says this Maratz Chias, one of these Achronim, that we put the comma in the wrong place. It should be Heve Yodea Sholam Haba Eino Ase El Latzadikim. For Yisrael, there's a totally different sense afterwards, meaning that a tzaddik, even if they're not Jewish, could get Olam Haba. And therefore, based on this reading, the right Rambam would be that a goy could get Olam Haba. So this actually is buttressed, and with this we'll conclude that there's a Rambam somewhere else. We know the Rambam, besides writing all of his 14 books of Halacha, he wrote the Mor Nevuchim. Besides writing Mor Nevuchim, he also wrote letters. He wrote letters, Igeres Teiman. I don't remember if this is Igeres Teiman, it might be Igeres Teiman, but there he says clearly, it might be in a different Igeres, that Chasidei Umos HaOlam Du Levechelek in Olam Haba. So if your coworker, the guy in the cubicle, the lady in the cubicle next door, asks you, look, you're Jewish, I'm not Jewish. We just happen to be born like that. Does God expect more from you than me? Do we have the same opportunity? You could tell them, no, we have a lot of different expectations. I have 7, I have 613, you have 7. But we both could get Olam Haba. That seems to be the conclusion of the Shitas HaRambam, at least. There are probably other Shitas. And next week, God willing, we'll continue with Halachas of the Workplace, a little bit more Halacha L'maisa than tonight. But hopefully this will at least give us a perspective of the Chiyuvim that a Goy has, at least for themselves. Good evening.